This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I stopped drinking alcohol almost exactly 7 years ago. When I stopped drinking, I really felt a lot of benefits. My health was better, my finances were better, my attention was better, and I really felt like I started to kind of grow up as a person. At times it was still difficult, at times even now, I feel like sometimes it's hard to explain to people why I don't drink, and sometimes still I feel like I'm a bit alone on this journey. But a couple of years ago I found Over the Influence, and that really changed things a lot for me. And I just felt like I wasn't alone in this journey anymore. It's just so nice to have this massive connection with all these like-minded people. Come along to Over the Influence and be part of an amazing community.
You've heard the podcast, now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you listening today, wherever you may be on your alcohol-free journey, your AF adventure. We've got so much to talk about today. I've already wasted about 10 minutes trying to get the tech to work today. We've got to cut the call short in around 55 minutes time, so I need to stop talking and get on with this. A quick introduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shaz, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I'm about 4 years, 10 months and a bit alcohol flipping free. Didn't want to be sober. Thought it'd be boring. Thought it'd be crap. Turns out the polar opposite of all that is true. Fell in love with sobriety, and we sing about it week in, week out on this rather brilliant podcast. I don't do it on my own. Ben Anderson, hello.
Hello, my name is Ben. I am 35. I live in Liverpool. I'm over 3 years alcohol free. And you know what, Shaz? I've recently started a new job, and it's been really lovely kind of going around and talking about Over the Influence. Because I'm like, oh, what do you do then? What were you doing before this? Like, oh, did this podcast about giving up alcohol. Not one person has said anything like,
what do you mean you don't drink?
Everyone's gone, oh, amazing. Like, it's just been really lovely to meet a whole new group of people. And
amazing.
For the reactions to all be universally positive, which is amazing, because the world is changing. When you started this in particular, Shaz, I mean, I've been doing this 3 years. It did feel like there weren't many people doing it, you know, making that positive lifestyle choice to remove alcohol. But now it seems like it's in the public consciousness, and it's, you know, we like think we've done our bit by releasing every single week for years now, a new podcast episode.
Yeah, and you keep saying we're doing this till the end of time itself.
We are.
So that's a lot of podcasting about not drinking, isn't it?
And these are my absolute favourite episodes. It's wonderful when you meet the authors. It's brilliant when you get the Instagrammers on. I have to say, Shaz, when we talk to a community member, it's just...
It warms the cockles, doesn't it?
Sweet.
And
go
actually,
say hello.
Yeah, let's get straight into it. No, I just wanted to say that when we record these Zoom calls, as part of being a community member, you can jump on and you can watch the recording. You can see the utter chaos that is a recording before Ben polishes it up. There's a saying, isn't there, about polishing things? But in this case, you can. Yeah. You absolutely can. Yeah.
Roll it in,
yeah, that's the one. And I've never seen as many community members on a call to watch a recording, so this is absolutely fantastic testament to the fella we're about to chat to. He's been with the community for the best part of 2 years. He's called Neil Curtis. He's got a string of nicknames. We think the world of him. OTI OG, OTI original, with us from the start. Have I said you're from Northamptonshire? I'll tell you what, I'll shut up. Neil, welcome to Over the Influence. How the heck are you?
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm very well. I'm Neil from Northamptonshire, nearly 49 at the end of the month, and yeah, it's great to see all these smiling faces looking back at me on this call. I was pretty nervous on the build-up to it, but it's lovely to see so many friendly faces. I've had some lovely messages today too,
voice so
notes,
good.
And you know, yeah, it's been great. And you know, and they're true friends. They really are. We call them community members, but they're not. They're much more than that. That's for sure.
Oh, Really good. And genuinely, how does it make you feel when you see all these people who, like you say, that they've now become friends?
I've got a bit of grit in my eye, I think is the best way of, it's the best way of describing it. But yeah, it means a lot. People, you know, I would imagine some of these are joining the Zoom call that's after this as well, that's hosted by Susan, and she's taking the time out to join this as well. So she's taking 2 hours out of her time today to listen to me, to watch, listen to me, and then to do her own Zoom. So that's all you need to know, really, about the amazing people in this community.
Really good. Really, really good. I don't know where to start, Ben, with Neil. Where should we start?
Well, I actually think we should dive into... You're about to hit 2 years alcohol-free, Neil, which is...
Yes.
2 years. 2 years. I mean, you know, I've got to ask, and I think I know what the answer is to this. Are you glad that 2 years ago you decided to knock it on the head for good? Because, you know, it's a big change.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done various stints before, and but they've never stuck for some reason. I never knew what the reason was. So I'm a serial day one-er. But looking back, where I thought I'd failed, if I'd maybe, you know, I've done a bit of a stint and then started to drink again, I'd see it as a failure. But actually, looking back, they're actually learnings along the way. So they're not. It's not a failure. It's a learning. So next time I was hit with that kind of obstacle or that issue or whatever, maybe want to have a drink again, I find a way around it. I find a way of dealing with it. I was your classic middle lane drinker, grey area drinker, which I didn't think was a thing until this kind of community were about. I thought it was just a normal feeling six or seven out of 10 every day. I've done various stints of giving up, anything from one day to 18 months. I did manage 18 months before. That was, I thought I'd cracked it at that point, but I think I decided to try and, she doesn't love this, I should try and moderate after that. That was what it was.
Tee-hee.
Yeah, exactly. We all know where that ends up. So, and what was different about that time was that, so I'd never really convinced myself that that was it. And what I mean by that is that so externally people would say to me, is that it? Have you stopped for good? And I would say, just to appease the situation and to keep them off my back, I would just say, I'm just giving it a bit of a go. I might drink again one day. I don't know. And internally, I was kind of saying to myself, you're probably going to have another drink one day. Is this it? Is that it? So I was getting noises internally and externally. So every time I'd go out with friends or family, I'm inviting that conversation all the time because I haven't shut it down in previous times that we've gone out. So that was the learning that I made from this one. So when I decided that was it for this time, I took every bit of help I could. So previously I didn't believe in alcohol-free alternatives. They've really come on now and they're brilliant. They've helped me out no end, certainly in the early days. I started to read the Quitlet. I started to listen to the podcast. So I binge listened to OTI. I think I binge listened for 3 months before the community went live. So I was filling myself with knowledge and getting myself back in the zone again of wanting to be alcohol free. I don't know what it is with social media, but they listen to you, these algorithms, whatever they are. So every now and again, something will pop up on a Facebook feed or an Instagram feed or something about alcohol free life or the latest alcohol free alternative that's out there. So I embraced it this time. I went with it. I threw myself into the community. It just seemed like things were aligning for me. The day I decided that I wanted to stop drinking was the day that the community went live. So that was the 19th of July, 2021. On the 18th of July, so the day before, I poured my last beer away and said, that's it, I'm done with it. So,
wow.
So yeah, that was it. I mean, if I can talk a little bit about my kind of childhood and going through my teens and how I kind of ended up on this path, as it were. So
absolutely. This is your story, Neil.
Yeah,
go for it.
I was probably a classic growing up in the 80s, surrounded by TV programs with people drinking and all this kind of stuff, and it glamorizes it. Back in the day, it was like the Martini Man and Follow the Hoff, the Bear, and all of this kind of stuff, the Hoffmeister Bear, and all that stuff. And, you know, I had a brilliant childhood. I was given loads of opportunities by my parents. I was a high achiever at sport. I was thick as pig shit at school, so academically it wasn't for me. I was really, really sporty from a young age. From like 11 years old, I got into athletics and I started to get recognised in athletics. I was getting selected for the county, I was getting selected for my region, I was getting selected for the country. I was off sort of competing. I remember my mum and dad, one weekend I was competing for my county down in Somerset. The next weekend, I was competing for the country in Edinburgh. So the commitment that my mum and dad gave me. So when I got to about 14, 15, I was kind of, amongst my peers, I was kind of on the next level. I was like I don't want to say a local celebrity, but I was a local celebrity. And it was pretty cool, but it came with pressures as well. So my behaviours, people were watching me. I had to be kind of impeccable at stuff. I was representing clubs, counties, countries, my school as well. So when I got to about 15, my head started to get turned by my peers, my friends, my schoolmates that were kind of getting the bottles of Diamond White and going onto the school field and stuff. And I was thinking,
I can smell it now, Neil. I can smell it now. It's awful.
That's something different. I quite like that. That looks like it's quite a nice release from what I've got at the minute. So I went down that path a little bit. And when I was about 14 or 15, I was the size I am now. I've not grown much in like 30 years. So I was the go-to guy to go to the off-licenses and picking up the Diamond White, bottle of Thunderbird, the, you know, whatever it was at the time. 10 Benson.
Angela's just said blast away in the
blast
in
away,
the chat.
Remember that, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They were good. No, they
Diamond
weren't good. They were
Castaway,
awful.
Was it? Or 2020? It was,
it was a bottle of Diamond White mixed with a bottle of Castaway. And when I was in my student days, it was a quid. Oh. Rancid stuff. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Neil, carry on.
That's okay. So, you know, my head started to get turned at 15. I remember going into pubs at 15 and thinking, this is brilliant. This is really great, because it was just totally different to what I was doing. So at this point, I was still competing and really enjoying that also. Don't get me wrong. But then you start to get into the kind of the routine of, you know, you get a Saturday job, you get a few quid, your mates are going out to local pubs and nightclubs, etc. So my story is probably similar to everyone else. And you end up down that kind of down that path. And then early 20s, I met Ali, my wife. We went to school together. I've known Ali since we were like 4 or 5 years old. We went to the same school, we were in the same classes. So our relationship went into quite a steep trajectory quite quickly, because, you know, we didn't need to do this getting to know each other. So when I was 23, 24, so in 1995 we met, 96 we bought a house together, 97 we moved into it, 1998 we got married, 99 we had our first child, 2001 we had our second child. So by the age of 25, 26, I was now settled down, married, two children, mortgage, etc. So I became that classic, you know, I couldn't afford to go out particularly, so I had a few beers at home. And then that's where the middle lane drink of it comes in. So go into your 30s, it's the same. I was a sort of dad, or we're the sort of parents that always got involved with what our children did. So guess what? I helped out at Cubs. I helped out at their football teams. We would run them to swimming lessons on a Friday night. So our boys were quite, they got to quite a decent level at a young age at football academy. So we had Kieran, our eldest, was playing for Cambridge United on a Friday training. Josh, our youngster, was in the Leicester City Academy, so we were in Leicestershire. So we were in different counties on a Friday night, and none of them were the one we lived in. So, you know, I'd come home and I'd just try and unwind with a couple of beers, something like that. So that's where the grey area drink a bit comes in. And then it sort of ramps up at the weekends, etc. So I think my story is very similar to a lot of guys, I would say, my age. And the kind of lifestyle that you get into. I was never a guy to pop up a bar. I was a drinker at home. So I wouldn't class myself as I wasn't physically dependent on alcohol, but I was probably mentally dependent on it, because it was a habit I had. And if I didn't have a drink at night, it would just feel unusual. Now, that drink might be a beer, that drink might be a bottle of wine, but it was something every night. And what happens is, over time, as soon as I got into my 40s, now, I'm quite a fit guy as well, so that sporty bit carried on. So I'm heavily into cycling and I like swimming and I like all sports. My body doesn't allow me to do all the sort of things I used to do. So when I got to my 40s, I was thinking, you know, you're doing all these things for your for your health and well-being, like sport-wise, and you know, you watch what you eat occasionally, not as much as I should do, but occasionally. But then I was thinking, well, why aren't I feeling great if I'm doing all this really good stuff? And I think there's a, you know, the common denominator was alcohol.
And how long did it take you to realise it, you know?
Too bloody long, Ben, too long.
This is not fair. This isn't, I'm doing this, I'm eating well, I'm doing it. But how often is alcohol the very last thing that you think about?
Absolutely, you know, and I think subconsciously or consciously, I knew that I need my relationship with alcohol needed to change. I needed to change that habit. So my go-to thing, whether it would be dry January, Stoptober, Lent, even though I'm not religious, I would give up. Alcohol would be the thing I'd look to give up. So I knew that I needed to change my relationship with it. And I was looking for every kind of excuse to do that. So I think that's where, and most of my meatier runs of being alcohol-free came off the back of a dry January or a Stoptober or Lent.
Let's talk about you being that grey area drinker, that middle lane drinker. We have heard just about every story on the podcast, you know, of recovery. In some cases, we've heard of like the absolute worst rock bottoms, and people have still managed to come out of that and now live a really fulfilled, happy, brilliant, sober life. And one thing Ben is so passionate about, myself as well, but Ben brings this up a lot, is the fact that you don't need to have a rock bottom in order to reassess your relationship with alcohol. Listening to you there, it sounds like there were no rock bottoms. You know, you were doing well. Life is going well. You've married your childhood sweetheart. Everything's ticking along nicely. But there was just something missing, I suppose. Just something lacking. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there was, and you're dead right. And I'm not saying there was no rock bottoms. But I think over time, the drip feeding of alcohol, of what it does to you, all of a sudden overflows. So I liken it to like a bucket in your sink, right? A bowl in your sink, where it's just a drip, drip, drip. Over time, that overflows. And that's what my alcohol intake was like. And the negative sides of drinking, you don't realise that it's happening. You just think it's normal to feel anxious. You just think it's normal to have shit sleep. I have had quite high-pressure jobs, mainly in manufacturing, and it could be a manufacturer manager, could be a shift manager, and just to get in and just take, you know, I've had a rough day today at work, I'm just going to have a couple of beers to take the edge off it. Now, them couple of beers you have might just take the edge off it, but guess what? They're coming back at the most inappropriate time, which tends to be usually 2 or 3 in the morning, and they come back with steroids. So you're not dealing with the problem by having a drink. Yes, it might soften the edges a little bit, but they come back, and they come back at the most inappropriate of times. So that's what I was finding. And it was a slow decline in physical health and mental health that alcohol was doing to me, that it didn't happen at once. It was over a number of years, and you just and the negatives of it happen so small over time. You don't realise they're happening until you actually remove it, and you go, bloody hell! This is amazing. I feel great, and because the changes are so minute over a long period of time, it takes a long time to feel like that. But it takes a very short time, I found, when I removed alcohol, for me to start feeling brilliant and feeling the benefits of it.
Well, you know what, Neil? I don't want to talk about the start, because this episode is called Neil Curtis, 2 years alcohol free. And I think, you know what? I'm going to jump in with a question that I think a lot of people will be thinking listening to this. And you know, we know that there are people listening to this podcast who have been years and years alcohol free. We know there are people on 2 years like you. We know that some people who are just starting out. We know that there are some people who haven't started yet. You know, they are sober curious. They're thinking that this might be a good choice for them to make, but they haven't quite taken the leap yet.
Yeah.
How top of mind is it for you? You're 2 years alcohol free. How much do you think about it?
What, alcohol? None.
Seriously?
I just don't. Yeah, it just doesn't enter my head. It's not a thing. It's just not a thing anymore. My whole attitude towards it, the marketing of it. It just doesn't... I'm a marketing person's dream usually, right? So something gets advertised on the telly and I'm going to buy it. You know, I'm quite impulsive on stuff. But alcohol just doesn't... It's just... I am so happy and content and notice and have tangible benefits from being alcohol-free that it's not even a thing anymore. It's not even a thing.
The reason I ask is because what you've described in terms of the kind of drinker that you were, societally, you know, socially wise, people would look in and probably go, Neil, you've done 2 years of this now. Like, you know, haven't you proved it? Like, what else are you trying to question? You know, and so that really doesn't, that you feel confident that this is a long-term choice for you?
100%. So if I, and I'll probably list them later, the benefits that, and the tangible benefits and the improvements and the opportunities I have had through removing alcohol. And what I mean by that is that there's not all the really good things that have happened to me in the last 2 years. There's not a dotted line into removing alcohol. There's a fuck off great big permanent marker line into removing alcohol.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Because the decisions I make and the opportunities I've got and the confidence I've got are all natural, authentic, whatever that is. You know, I'm not usually one to be using them kind of words, but
you and me both, Neil.
They're not diluted. They're not diluted with alcohol. And I don't know who it is. You're the quote man. But I'm a firm believer in, of all the quotes that I've heard since being alcohol free, the best one is, sobriety has delivered what alcohol promised.
I love that one.
That is it in a nutshell for me. Yeah. I don't know who it is that said it, but that's, of all the quotes I've heard since going alcohol free, that's the best one.
We are just going to take a very quick break from this episode of Over the Influence with the fabulous Neil. Loads still to come as well with Neil. We talk a lot about feeling all the feels in sobriety. It gets a little bit emotional. It's a little bit emotional, this episode, so do stick with us. Can't wait for you to hear the rest of Neil's story. Before we get back to that, what day is it this week, man? What's happening?
It's Monday. If you're listening to this when the episode comes out.
No, not the right answer.
Okay. But it is. If you listen,
it is, yeah, it's Monday
to
today.
On the day of release. Okay. Thousands of people do listen.
Let me ask you.
Thousands of people listen before 6 a.m. because if the podcast is late, I get lots of, I'm not going to say angry DMs, emails, slightly concerned DMs. Is everything okay? Where's my podcast?
Tetchy.
Yeah, yes, slightly touchy.
A little bit touchy.
But that's great because you're a passionate audience and we appreciate you. Sharon, you're of course talking about Friday because this Friday, it's a Friday Tri-Day with Over the Influence. Oh, yes.
It's so catchy, that, isn't it? It's catchy.
We love a Friday Tri-Day. If you've never heard, are you thinking, what on earth? Have I missed something here? Well, yes, you have, because a Friday Tri-Day is your opportunity to see what Over the Influence is all about. You've heard about us. You've heard about the Zoom calls. You've heard about the forum. You've heard about all the things we do. The Zoom calls really are a central part of what we do. And this is a free Zoom, isn't it, on Friday? One with me in the morning, 8 a.m. BST, British Summer Time, and one with you in the evening, 6 p.m. BST.
6 p.m. Yep. 6 p.m. BST. I do my Friday Tri-Day before the community Zoom call.
It is fun. It's fun to say. This Friday, it's a Friday Tri-Day with Over the Influence.
Just having us up at the end there. Friday Tri-Day. Yeah.
It's a Friday Tri-Day.
Doesn't work.
No. It's a Friday Tri-Day.
That's it. A little element of surprise there. Just at the
it's
end.
Free as well, isn't it? It's a free Friday Tri-Day. Car park at the rear. If you go to overtheinfluence.co.uk/Tri-Day. Over the Influence. I'm just checking it right now, Shaz. overtheinfluence.co.uk/Tri-Day. You can sign up. It's completely and utterly free. There we are. Look, multiple dates available with me, multiple dates available with you, Shaz. But the next one is this Friday, the 4th of August, if you're listening to this on the week of release. So come and join us. You'll see me sitting in a side room at the BBC going, yes, definitely doing important BBC work here. It's all right, it's before nine, so my contract won't start technically till nine. It means I can literally finish the Friday Triday call and be immediately on BBC business. But yeah, anything else to say, Shaz, about that?
Come and get involved. It won't cost you a penny. And we are there on Zoom to say hi and to answer any questions that you might have about the community. People feel a bit strange. They feel a bit weird, you know, joining a community. What's it like? What are the people like in there? Well, chances are they're just like flipping me and you. Everybody is wonderful. Come and find out about the Zoom calls, what time we host them, about the forum chat, about the things we talk about the type of people in there, about the OTI events. We've just got loads going on. Won't cost you a penny. A penny?
It won't. Oh. It won't cost you a penny.
It's because I was thinking ahead to saying Friday, Triday, and it all became amalgamated into one weird word. Lost the plot.
So just to sum up, this Friday, Triday, it won't cost you a penny. Looking forward to seeing you then. Should we get back to the episode with Neil?
I think we should. Let's hear more from Neil. That quote there, sobriety delivers everything that alcohol promised. And that can be so many different things. That can be sitting in the pub with your mates going, right, okay, let's tackle that mountain next weekend. Yeah. Literally no one can be asked because everybody's got a hangover. Right, I tell you what, I've got this really good business idea. I'm going to do it. You know what, I can't be asked. And everything's just below par.
Everyone's Billy Big Balls when they've got a beer in them, aren't they? You know, they promise the world, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I could do that, that's no problem. But actually, can you? Probably not.
So go on then. What has sobriety delivered for you, Neil, two years in?
So, just through some of the tangible things that have happened to me, is that through work, I was recognised at work and won one of their versions of Employee of the Year. I got to do, or confidently wrote a blog on my alcohol-free life. After a conversation that I had with someone at work who there was no malice in their comment to me, who suggested that because you give up alcohol, you are an alcoholic or an ex-alcoholic or had a problem with drinking. So I felt confident in my alcohol-free status to write a blog that went out to everybody at work. And when I say everybody at work, I'm talking hundreds, if not thousands, at work in the company I work
for. It's a really big deal, isn't it? Really big deal.
I applied for a new role at work. So in year two, I, again, doing all the kind of well-being stuff. Year one, if I can just track back a little bit, year one for me was all about the how. How am I going to do it? How am I going to get through the first day? How am I going to get through the first weekend? How am I going to get through my first birthday? How are we going to get through anniversary, etc.? Year two is about the why, the purpose. Why am I doing this? And I found it. So I was doing all of this really brilliant stuff for myself, for my health, for my mental health, for my physical health, my well-being. But the one thing, the one area of my life that I felt I could go after to make an improvement, or there was an opportunity for improvement, was in my working life. So I've told by a lot of people that I was kind of below par in what I could be doing. Work-wise, as in, you know, you are much better than what you're doing. Why are you doing this? I did perform to a higher level in previous roles, a much more responsible position. Where I am at the minute, I just went in there. It was only meant to be a stopgap for a little while, but actually really loved the company I'm working for, so I decided to make a career there and applied for a role in year two. Applied for alcohol-free. Applied for a new role which would put me out of my comfort zone. It was not on shifts, which was great. So when I'm talking about mental health and well-being, the opportunity was to get off shift, because shift work is not good for you. So I thought, that's where I want to go after. So I found a really brilliant role that was advertised internally and thought, do you know what? I'm going to do it. I could do that. And that's that authentic confidence that alcohol doesn't give you. And I went, I could do that. I looked at the spec. I applied for it. I went through the interview process and got it. It was a seconded role for 2 years. My boss is just the best person I have worked with in all of my 30-something years of working. But I think that's because we've formed a working relationship, because they know that's not my background, so has helped me. And I've welcomed that opportunity and said, look, I'm going to show you what I can do.
With energy, with clarity, with enthusiasm, with confidence.
Consistent as well.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not turning up every morning hanging.
Ben's favourite word.
I'm not turning up every morning hanging, you know. So that's been brilliant. I delivered so our company do a town hall event every 6 months. I was asked to facilitate the question and answer session. That was to 350 people up on a stage, which, you know, and this is just little old me going out and doing it. And then I've also decided to do some voluntary work also as well.
Which we've got to talk about in a second because it's very cool. Very, very cool. But you know what, Neil? I'm glad that I asked you that because you've summed it up perfectly there in the, you know, year one is about the how and year two is about the why. Because when you start this thing off, it is very bloody difficult, you know, if you are, you know, thinking about this as a potential lifestyle choice for you, then I think it's important to tell people that. Yes, we sing about the joys of sobriety, but as one of our fellow community members, Danny, once said on a Zoom call that I think you were on as well, Neil, it's not all unicorns, farts and glitter, is it? And there are tough days. And you know, you're right. Yeah. That year, that first year, it is, right, I've got a wedding. I've never been to a wedding, alcohol-free before. How am I going to possibly get up onto that dance floor with everyone else and do the funky chicken when I'm at one alcoholic drink? How am I going to celebrate break my birthday without alcohol? Yeah. How am I going to go to that first works do where I'm supposed to be trying to bond with the team and this, that, and the other? And it can be... But what you've said really beautifully is that doesn't last. You've got to do it, and you've got to kind of steel yourself for it and you've got to be prepared for it. But just because you feel that way now doesn't mean that you'll feel that way forever. It does become part of life, doesn't it? It becomes a really good, solid part of who you are. And it's not something that you're thinking about every single day. In fact, there are days where I go, where it's just part of, I'm a non-drinker. And it's just part of who I am now. And that does happen, doesn't it?
And do you know just a couple of things there, Ben, just to follow on what you were saying with regards to year one stuff, and which is why the community is so important. There's so many people in our community now that have trodden the path that other people are on. The advice, the support is there, and it's great to either jump on a Zoom or put something in a forum and just say, look, I've got this coming up this week. Has anyone got any advice on how to get through a wedding? Or I've got a surprise party I've got to. Anybody got any advice on that? I've got my first holiday. What the hell do I do? How do I get through it? And it is so, and that's why I've loved and still love this community so much, is that there is somebody that is on the path that you're on that can offer some advice. Whether it's a Zoom, whether it's the forum, whether it's the chat, I can't sing the praises enough, honestly. It's just, it has been the missing link for me in previous ones. It really has.
I want to jump in because we always say, Neil, when people join the community, you will get as much out of it as you put in. You can't just sort of, right, join OTI, sit back, what happens now? You've got to engage. You've got to put the work in. You've got to work at alcohol-free life. You really, really do. And you've done that with Knobs On. And, you know, you now host Zoom calls, which we'll hopefully have time to talk about towards the end of our chat today. You're a really supportive community member. You're a great friend to so many people in there. And you've been on our events as well, which is the reason I want to mention this is, you know, we have these events and we get together and people come along thinking, oh, God, what's it going to be like? Who are these strange people off the internet? You came to our very first event, which I think was it last year or the year before? I can't even remember.
Last year, Three Peaks.
Was it last year?
Yeah, June 11th last year.
It was June last year, yes.
Have a look at your T-shirt, Neil, because you're wearing the official.
Because he's wearing the T-shirt, of course. Did I put the date on there?
You know what?
Probably not.
I've got the medal here, June the 11th, 2022.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, so it's a month after that event. I should remember it well, because I was on stage, darlings.
You were, the same weekend
in Calendar Girls, you did. That's a really long-winded point, me trying to say that had you not been on that walk with us taking part at an OTI event, you might not be doing the volunteering that you are doing now. And the story there, it's something else, Neil.
It is, yeah. So for those who don't know, we, as Shaz said, we did the Yorkshire Three Peaks last year, and we got to the third peak, Ingleborough, And as we got to the top, we just climbed over the top onto the summit. There was quite a bit of commotion going on the right-hand side. There was whistles going on and lots of people gathering around the person. We didn't know what was going on, but we got to the trig point, had our photograph taken. At the trig point, making our way back, and as we looked over, very sadly, the person was having CPR performed on them. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a nice thing to witness, obviously. But from that point, and that is, it's been in my head a lot. I reflected a lot. Initially, on the mountain, I had real internal battle with getting off. My fight or flight mechanism kicked in, and I wanted to go and help. I wanted to fight. I wanted to go and help the person, the team. I wasn't comfortable with leaving, but rightly so, our guide said, we need to get you off. They're being looked after. They would have called mountain rescue. The air ambulance will be on the way. So we can't do anything else. Let's get you off. Otherwise, we could potentially have another casualty. Because there wasn't the best of conditions up there. It was cold, it was windy, and it was raining. So off we go. So we're climbing down. We see the air ambulance go up, do its, you know, and so we know that the person had got off the mountain one way or another. Anyway, we get back, and I'm doing quite a lot of reflecting. I'm sitting with these feelings of, you know, I should have done something. Could I have done something? But then I turned it round, turned them thoughts round on their head and just sort of said, look, I couldn't help that person, but could I help someone in the future? And I got to find out that our county's Lowland Rescue, so our search and rescue, were doing a recruitment drive. So each county either has a mountain rescue or a lowland rescue, which is search and rescue. So I applied, had a chat with my wife first, obviously, to say, look, you happy with me too? You have to do this, it's quite a commitment. But it just floated my boat, that sort of stuff. Year two has had things of, I want to help people, your authentic self. We've talked about that a little bit. And I just wanted to start to give something back. I started to get a little bit of feeling of what it's like to give back through this community, so by doing the Zoom host, and it just made me feel good about myself. And it gave me that kind of gratitude and that, yeah, you know, this is a really nice thing to do. And that buzz of helping people. So I applied for the voluntary role of search and rescue, had an interview, passed that, passed the fitness test, got invited along to a basic search technician weekend, went to that, passed that. And then I was got... there were 7 modules to pass. They're quite intense. You have police checks also going on in the background because...
Which is nail biting, but you passed them, so that was good.
dealing with vulnerable people. So, you know, rightly so, the checks have to be very stringent. And sort of started to work my way through the modules. And as of Monday, I completed all the modules now. All of my checks have come back. I have done all of my training. I am now fully operational, albeit being signed off by the head assessor of our team, which is next Thursday. But
Neil, that's just what an achievement. Ben, just note these details down, because when we've got some OTI events, just put him down.
Well, I need to write it down. Lowland Rescue, because people keep saying to me, so what's Neil doing now? And I'm like, he's a volunteer and he's a rescuer. And I know that he rescues people, but not in the mountains. But it's Lowland Rescue. You know Lowland. What, Neil? It's amazing. I'm really glad that we talked about this. And I think that this is another, like, if you are somebody who is thinking about sobriety, another really great thing to take away from your story, which is, I think a lot of us start this and we have goals and ambitions in our mind. You know, I want to get out more and walk, or, you know, I want to really go for that promotion or this, that, and the other. And you kind of think, right, if I remove alcohol, it's going to give me every best chance of achieving this thing that may have just eluded me for whatever reason, for however long. I also think this example is amazing because you kind of have got to, you know, keep a bit of space for having an open mind, because there are surprises that come along, aren't they? Like, you know, 2 years ago, this wasn't an ambition, and now it's going to be a really big part of your life.
Without a doubt. Just 2 things on that. And one of them's quite a funny story, but not for me, but my wife suggested. She says, so I was cooking a curry the other week and I couldn't find the naan breads. And she says, you can't find a fucking naan bread in a freezer, but you've got to go and find someone in the woods. You know, so typical, okay. Typical bloke size. But yeah, the other thing is as well, and this is where I this is where I get my sort of kick and my buzz from. So a call might come through, so a missing person is gone, and then, you know, the fact that it could be at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and guess what? I'm available, I'm free, yeah, I can do it, are. Because I haven't got any alcohol in my system, so I can just jump into my search and rescue kit, jump in the car, off I go, meet him at the rendezvous point, and off we go. So it's just not to have that, you know, that, could you imagine doing this? I imagine, and it gives me the icks a little bit, like, oh, getting that call and I can't go because I've had a drink. God, that would be so, it would be horrible. It would be a horrible feeling to have.
And you wouldn't be doing this.
Someone wants your help and you can't.
Yeah.
If you were still drinking, would you? It's all part. It's all part of the, excuse me, the journey, Neil. It's all part of the journey.
And the other thing is as well about it is, and this is where my, so the person that was at the top of the mountain, right? This is a little bit of a surprise bit that I'm throwing in here. Because I felt so deeply about it, on the anniversary of the year, which is the 11th of June, I've made efforts to try and contact the family of the person. Just to say, and this is where I get a little bit emotional about this sort of stuff, that through their untimely death, it's inspired me to want to help others. I'll try and sort myself out in a minute.
Yeah, you need to sort yourself out.
So how did I do it, or where have I started? So Freddie in our community, who's an amazing lady, shared the press release a couple of days after we got back to say, very sadly, the person passed away. The press release was from the Yorkshire Post. So I've been in touch with a journalist that did it. And I understand how GDPR laws work and rulings work. So I said, look, I know you can't give me names, but I'm happy for you to share my details with the family. They got back to me immediately and said, we weren't given a name, but it's a brilliant story. And I think you should get hold of either the Cave Rescue Organisation, who were deployed at the time, and the Swainsdale Mountain Rescue Team, who were also deployed. So I got hold of them. Brilliant. They were really great. They got back and said, look, we can't divulge any names either. Maybe get hold of Northwest Air Ambulance. They were the people that got them off. So I got hold of them. And unfortunately, they can't give me names either. So I've hit a bit of a brick wall. But I'd just love to let the family know, because my dad had a really serious heart episode a few years ago and was very, very lucky. Someone was looking down on him at the time and he happened to be in hospital. So he went in with a heart attack and had a cardiac arrest while he was in the hospital. So the crash team were in there and dealing with it. So I think a lot of it is that, you know, that's somebody's father up there. That's somebody's brother. That's somebody's husband. And so I just wanted to let them know that, or would love to let them know that, you know, it's inspired me to want to help others. So,
and you know what? Thank you, Neil, because it's tipped me over the edge as well. Those teams on that mountain did everything they could that day.
Amazing.
Simple as that. They did everything they could.
Amazing.
And now you will be doing everything you can for somebody else in a similar situation. And you should be really proud of that.
Thank you very much. And I am, you know, and it's vulnerable people that we're dealing with. So it tends to be people with either dementia, the despondent, the suicidal, the children. So, you know, although there's some really happy stories of people that we find, there's also some pretty harrowing ones as well. But yeah, it's, I don't know, this kind of organisation, this kind of setup, this kind of work floats my boat more than voluntary work of maybe being in a charity shop or a soup kitchen. They do great work, don't get me wrong, but this is what floats my boat.
It's bloody selfish though, Neil, if you ask me. Bloody selfish. That? Because, you know, what do we always talk about in the community? You know, it's the abstinence versus sobriety thing. Like, what you've done here now is that something has come along unexpectedly and you've put in the work. You know, you've had going back to that time, energy, consistency, motivation, and you are now fully qualified, ready to be deployed, search and rescue, Lowland Rescue, not Neil the Rescuer. But that is, it's a perfect example of you doing something that you wouldn't have done if you were a drinker, that now that's something that you don't want to give up. If you went back to drinking again, you said it in this, if you went back to drinking again, yes, you'll still be qualified and you'll still be on the team, but there are times that you wouldn't be able to go out and do what you've been trained to do. Mm-hmm. That abstinence versus sobriety thing. Abstinence is giving one thing up. Sobriety is bringing in new things. And for me, it's the absolute key to long-term success with this. I mean, Sharon will tell us about the success of her sobriety.
Oh, can you not? Don't even talk about it. I've heard it. Okay, yeah, it's the worst.
It was with Will, wasn't it?
In Australia.
Yeah,
move
the success.
On.
Sharon will talk to us all day about the success of her sobriety. But in terms of kind of, you know, really, you know, this thing really sticking and that kind of really long-term change. Yeah. For all of us, all three of us now, there are things that we've got in our lives that we're not prepared to give up by drinking. If we drink, then we're giving up those things. And that, and I'm not willing to do that. You're not willing to do that. Sharon isn't willing to do
absolutely
that either.
Not.
So, mate,
no more.
All credit to you. It's absolutely, I mean, it's selfish, but it's brilliant. So, well,
I think, so the other thing is as well, just to touch on there. So I listen to podcasts, your podcasts.
You mean you before, listen to others apart from us?
No, only yours. I listen to.
Just
but
checking.
The early
just
ones.
When I was still
drinking, so I was getting my run up towards me stopping. And you know, I'm listening to people on the podcasts that have taken up new hobbies in year one and two, that are now doing marathons in year, and I'm thinking, how have they done that? But I'm now one of them guys.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's you, and it's amazing, and it's warmed our cockles no end. We've got about 4 minutes left, Neil.
Have
and
you
I
seen
just...
the chat box, by the way, quickly, Shaz, before you? So in terms of kind of, you know, so we've had a message here from one of our community members watching. Neil, you've inspired me to look into approaching my local mountain rescue group to see if I can maybe volunteer there. So
brilliant,
you know, awesome,
absolutely
awesome.
Brilliant. So good. Neil, we're nearly out of time. Thank you for sharing that really personal story as well. You know, I remember it as well. I know the effect it had on a lot of people. So thank you. And it's just amazing to hear how you've used that to do something absolutely brilliant. Thanks. You're a fabulous community member. We think the world of you. We take the rip relentlessly, don't we? We have such a good laugh. We really, really do. If you could sum up OTI and joining us on that day one, 2 years ago, your day one and our very nervous day one as a community, what would you say? How would you do it?
Oh, just throw yourself in. It's like no place I've ever known as a community. You know, I remember the day I subscribed and I joined, and I didn't have my name as Neil Curtis. I had the handle of the Sober Cyclist.
You
I thought,
did.
I'll be a bit guarded and I'll see what, you know. I'll see what it's about. And then somebody had seen my name and reached out to me on the chat box and said, oh, I do a bit of cycling as well. And, you know, I'm coming up for a year alcohol-free and all this. And then it was just, had that really nice warm feeling about it and a welcoming feel. It wasn't you're just a number and you're just, you know, a faceless person at the end of a social media platform somewhere. Actually, it was a safe place. Because that was my first experience, whenever any new people join, when I can, I will drop them a message because I know how it made me feel in the early days. And I know you guys, Shaz and Ben, say about, you know, the community is what it's made. But actually, it's a reflection of you guys and how you have approached alcohol-free life and what you're like as people as well. So although, yes, the community are there and there's some brilliant people in there and very friendly people, we're actually a byproduct of you guys. We're like, you know, what your thoughts are like, the celebration of alcohol-free life. You know, I host Zooms, and yes, we talk about alcohol-free life, but we also talk about life. We just talk about life. I have messages from Damo in Australia who messages me about England getting beat at cricket. I get messages from Matt and from Freddie, who are Arsenal fans. I'm a Spurs fan. When the football season's on, they're messaging me, just ripping the piss out of me because of the team I support. So it's just not...
You're not really selling it in it, actually.
Yeah, it's a very friendly place, honestly. It's lovely.
It is, but that's a sort of... But it just normalises it.
Yeah.
Just normalises it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a place to come in here. And then the other thing that's great about it as well is that, and it does happen, people have a wobble, people have a blip, but guess what? Everyone just kind of circles around them, picks them back up again, and we go again. And it's such a friendly, warm, welcoming place. It really is.
Thank you. You've made me cry, I think, 3 times during this episode today, which is just brilliant. Neil, you also give us a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling as well, as you've described that community. So thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure. Big up your bad self on 2 years alcohol-free. Best of luck, all the luck in the world with your Lowland search and
thank
rescue.
You.
Me and Ben feel like a very proud, weird auntie and uncle, do we? Sort of. I don't know.
I'll send some photos when I'm in full uniform.
Oh, please do. And on that note... Neil Curtis from Northamptonshire, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Big up your bad self, Neil Curtis from Northamptonshire. What an absolutely cracking listen. 2 years alcohol-free and now a fully qualified Lowland rescuer person doing brilliant things. we always get his title wrong, don't we?
Yeah, Neil the rescuer.
Neil the
if
rescuer.
I ever get lost in the Lowlands of Northamptonshire, I'm going to feel very confident that I will be found by the lovely Neil.
Who better to find you?
You know, I was about to say, if I ever got lost anywhere, I'd want Neil to be the person to go, everything's going to be okay, you know.
Do you mean like physically and metaphorically?
Just all of it.
Got lost.
All of it.
Neil, thank you so much. We just,
yes.
We really, really appreciated that chat. I think it's worth mentioning as well that Neil joined our community on our day one and on his day one. And if you want to find out more about our community, Ben, what's happening this coming Friday?
This Friday, Sharon, I may have mentioned it a few times already, but it's a Friday try-day with Over the Influence. So that means you get on Zoom with either me in the morning, 8 a.m. BST, or with Shaz in the evening, 6 p.m. BST. And you can ask any questions you've got about the Over the Influence community. To be honest, I kind of treat them like it is a standard Zoom call. So you can kind of get to see the kind of things we talk about. And it really is like anything and everything. Obviously, we're there to talk about alcohol-free life and support each other, motivate each other, celebrate each other, etc. But, you know, it's just kind of nice to talk about, well, whatever's going on, really. Because giving up booze, Shaz, it really is just the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. It opens so many doors. So many doors.
Quite yeah, so many doors have been opened.
Why have we started talking like this?
I don't know. It's because you're not quite, you don't believe what you're saying. You realise that what you're saying is quite cliche and you don't like it. You don't like that part of yourself that falls on cliches and says things like, this is a journey.
Yeah, but it is, and I hate myself every time I say
it. I know, but deep down you believe this stuff. You are one giant walking cliche, Sharon Hartley.
Completely.
But so am I. Friday Try Day, this Friday. With Over the Influence, overtheinfluence.co.uk/try-day. That's overtheinfluence.co.uk/try-day.
We're supposed to be selling this as like a good thing for people
to
enjoy.
A lot of things. We're supposed to be professional. We're supposed to be kind of slick professional broadcasters.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things we're supposed to be, Sharon. But you know what? We've removed booze and we just are who we are. You know what I mean? You know,
and it's enough. I am enough. You are enough. Together, Ben, we are enough.
Yes. Don't know what that means, but I agree.
You just say yeah. Just say
yes.
Yeah. In fact, if you've listened to this and you've seen the Barbie movie, Ben is Kenuff, okay?
Okay.
Cultural reference there.
Not seen it.
Got to see it. Bloody go. So good. Conversation for another day. As Ben mentioned there in his brilliant radio voice, yes, do get involved this Friday, because on Friday it's Try Day, and we would love you to come and try the day with us on a Friday. Try Day. Pathetic. overtheinfluence.co.uk/try day. You've got Ben, 8 o'clock BST in the morning. You've got me, 6 p.m. BST in the evening. Come and say hello. We are on hand to answer any questions you want to ask about Over the Influence, about the community. I've done it again, the community!
It doesn't cost you a penny to try our community on a Friday.
We are shit at this. Can we get some professionals in?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might be time to turn the mics off and do other things. Sit in a quiet room.
Oh, right. I'm not saying anything else. Thank you for listening. As always, it's been a pleasure. Same time next week. Bye.